73, KW8R.
Have a good day, guys. K is QVC.
How are you, Jim?
I think I'm doing okay this morning. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm okay, or I soon will be.
All right, I'm back, KD8UIQ.
Yeah, it sounds much better. Hi, Bob.
Hey, Charlie. Well, this is an ICOM 706 Mark IIG that an individual sent me to take a look at, so we're testing that one out.
Well, it sounds pretty good to me.
Yeah, it's working. I mean, he said that it wasn't transmitting and the receive was going in and out, but I checked it out last night and I couldn't find a problem with it, and I'll just run it for a while and see what happens.
Yeah.
Good audio and stuff like that. Good signal. It doesn't sound bad at all.
Okay. Like I said, we'll run this one for a while I still poke at this FP-101.
Is that what you were on there a little bit ago?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I thought I had it nailed down to a tube, but apparently not.
It was doing something with your audio. I don't know exactly what. It was all washed out, though.
Roger that. All right. Well, there's still more work to do.
All them things can be difficult.
And this one particularly so.
Think about this. Here are the number of lanes down. They put at-the-point restrictions on the deer. They do this, they do that. He said, so what do you think is going to happen? Well, with the mild winters, the deer herd is going to increase, he said, and it won't be long. We'll have to hire people to come in and cull them. Yeah, it's just been a couple of parks. They got people in there.
Yep, people I used to work for again.
Charlie.
See there, Charlie, you just missed the deal.
Yeah, he didn't call me.
What a good little radio. I mean, I didn't know I was going to sell it. The guy come down here and shook the cash at me.
Well, I heard it was an off.
If you heard me with an off, that was 65 watts.
There you go. I'm playing on a Kenwood 570D. I got the amplifier on. I'm pushing the Amatron AL82, about 1,000 watts.
Yeah, I hear it, sir, rolling in the background.
And that's the furnace.
That's the furnace?
Yeah, it's cold up here.
That's a noisy
thermos. Yeah, it is. Makes a whole lot of racket. Hey, Boyd, did you get that radio hooked up yet?
Can you hear me now, Boyd?
I can hear you now.
What radio was you on?
I was on a Noah Kenwood.
What are you on now?
Noah Kenwood.
Another old Kenwood.
Sound good on this 570D.
Who's running a 570D?
It's old John up here.
Well, it sounds good to me.
Okay, 10-4 TWR.
Hey,
youngins, I'm going to have to get off of here and go get my stomach thinks my throat's been cut. I'm going to have to go put something in it.
All right, well, guys, I got to run too, dude. I got to go in there and go down the road. The whole radiation treatment, and then you got to go back to see the doctor again today. So another full day on the road. It ain't early. Have a good one.
Okay, Bob, you be careful.
You take it easy down that way, and I hope she does real well with that radiation. Well, be listening for you. This Katie's all right, too.
All right, well, so far she's doing okay, dude. She slept good last night, and I had to get up at 3 o'clock and walk her into the living room. And she wanted to go in and sit down in the chair, so I did that this morning. But she went back to sleep and rested pretty good, so she's doing pretty good, I think.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
What was his numbers, boy?
I just thought I'd jump in and say howdy and goodbye, and y'all stay safe. We'll maybe catch you tomorrow. KK4UGJ, look up here at King.
All right, buddy.
Up here at
King, you have good in the first.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You made all of it.
Hey, Bob.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what was Bob's call letters there, boy?
N-8-R-O, I believe is what he said.
N-8-R-L-S. Boyd, you doing all right this morning?
I'm doing pretty good. How are you?
I'm just trying to get my wits about me. I slept a little bit late in there this morning, and I'm kind of running behind my time.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I done the same thing. I had to rush to get out here this morning.
I just have got through hooking everything back up that keeps talking about thunderstorms, and then they don't happen. So I've been unhooking radios and unhooking antennas.
Can I get up the board and hook everything back up?
Now they're saying they might have a thunderstorm late this afternoon or tomorrow morning, so it's just the same old stuff. It's getting really old.
Now they're forecasting something here, too. I'll have to unhook everything today.
It just don't mean left or right. That thunderstorm in January and February.
Yeah, they have some sometimes in February, but they're rare in January.
Yeah, I think all this rain's kind of rare, too. I think it's where we're 5 inches over the norm for January. We're already over 2 inches for February.
Yeah, but you know, we've been wet the last 2 or 3 years here. 2 years ago, I guess it was the wettest year we ever had on history.
Yeah, it was that way down here too, boy. And my side yards and my backyard have not been dry, I don't think, a single time in the last, at least the last 12 months.
Mine drains pretty good and everything. I've got plenty of mud now.
Yeah, mine doesn't. I've got several low spots around the yard here in the front and the back both. And we got some places out there in the front yard where the water is about 8 or 10 inches deep.
I don't have that.
One thing about it, I guess, is what it is. You just kind of got to deal with it. I'm more worried about the trees than anything else, though. The ground is so soggy and wet now. I've got those two enormous maple trees in the yard, or one of those things. I bet you that thing is
probably at least 4 feet or 4.5 feet thick,
and that tree is just absolutely enormous, and it's not but about 30 feet from the house.
It's probably got some humongous roots, though. A tree that big, you've got to have a good root system.
Well, I know it's got one route on the far side out close to the road that's so big that it actually engulfed the entire water meter from the county up here. They had to come in and put a whole new line in and a new meter on, because the meter is inside the roof.
They do funny things.
I'm just really concerned about it, because man, if that thing was to come around, and the bad thing about it is that tree up about 6 feet or so above the ground splits out in three different directions, and it's basically three trees with one root system in the trunk. But each one of those trees is as big as what makes the maple bark.
Well, I'd break down and get a tree trimmer to turn it down or to bring it down one. I'd get rid of something like that if it bothered me.
Year before last, I had to come out here, and they put a steel cable up in the top of it up there that's supposed to help hold those three sections together. But I have had it cut back quite a bit, and I tell you what, that thing grows like crazy, and it's got roots coming up above the ground. It's just a big mess. I guess I'm going to eventually have to have the thing cut down.
Kind of a maple it is. Maples don't usually grow like that. They're a pretty slow grower.
Well, I tell you what, this one still has grown like crazy. I guess it's just all the ranking stuff that we've been having. So this has been
a beverage right here. Yeah, we have too. We've had a lot of rain. Well, Buck, I'm going to have to take a standby. The wife's calling check on her. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Yeah, it's good to hear you in there, boy. And I'm not going to stay in too awful long this morning. I got some running I got to do. But I'll probably be here probably for the next maybe 30, 45 minutes anyway. You have a good one. And I don't catch you today. Maybe we'll catch you tomorrow after the sun is starting to clear. This morning, KK4, you DJ.
PB, is it already split?
It's all the dropper. He works for a hardwood lumber company that takes trees and turns them into workable lumber for the furniture industry. And I get all the dropper from the rough cut that's all killing by.
Is it split?
Yeah, it's all pieces like the size of books or magazines.
Gotcha, I understand.
Perfect for charcoal.
Oh, yeah. KI4YWW grabs a whole bunch, and KK4CJO, James, when he's over for Bible study, he grabs a bunch and brings it home. They do a lot of smoking with it.
Hey, Mikey?
Yes, sir.
Now, the chauffeur mobile is warmed up, ready to go. All you have to do is tell Leroy when you're ready, and we'll be on the right.
Yeah, we've got everything but the Luna Link, and it's just a matter of what we can get up the mountain to both of. I mean, there's a lot of other stuff, but that's the only thing on the list that needs to come down.
Well, call me before you go up. I'll give you a list of all what I think goes with it.
Everything
together with it. We want to get probably all
the
rest of the
boxes out of there, at least out of the shack, and we'll go back at a later time for the towers and the antennas.
You gonna let me drive, Bruce? If that's what your little heart desires, absolutely.
Yeah, you sit back there and enjoy yourself. I'll drive, okay? I just don't want you driving any distance.
Yeah, my wife would agree with that probably.
I think it'd be a good idea.
And you need to stop every hour and a half to stretch your legs and whatnot. You know, at our age, these blood clots are not healthy.
Roger.
That's what I worry about when I'm flying on an airplane to California. You know, I just hate that trip.
I just hate California.
First of all, you got to pry yourself out of it.
I understand that they're talking about giving the digital boys more frequencies and I guess cutting more into the CW area because it's not that active. But the thing that I always enjoyed was the product reviews because they would do a, I thought, well, everybody's radio was, they always said good things about it, but you had the information right there. If you wanted to compare apples to apples, you know, this radio versus another one, or they would show the spectrum display on CW and things like that. That's the part that that really got my interest. Over.
Yeah. I'm a member of the league because I want to support the organization, and I think it's important to have something that represents our interest in Washington and elsewhere, but beyond that, I'm QST has limited interest to me. I guess the things I look at first, go to the Silent Keys column to see how many people I know are in there.
You know, interesting. As I get older, I do the same thing. I look through that, and then on the left-hand side of the page, I look at the 25 years ago and 50 years ago, there's some of that stuff, and it kind of rings a bell. I'll read the thing or look at the picture, and it reminds me of way back reading the article.
Yeah, I remember those editions of QST. What'll be scary is when the 75 years begin to look familiar.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't know if I'll be around at that point.
Well, who knows? I've got 15 years to go. Yeah, I could do that.
Oh, okay. Well, got to do the math here and try and figure it out. 15, 25. Yeah, I think I got maybe a little bit longer, but I guess I'm just about in the same boat.
Yeah. How about you, Bill?
What was that?
And are you a member, Bill? Are you a member of the league?
Yeah. It's very important.
I don't know how important it is, but yeah.
I think it is my quarterly magazine.
I think it's important to support the league. All these guys, my mentor, old friend W2SAD, the day he died, he refused to rejoin the league after he quit the league in 68 when they had the incentive licensing debacle. And he still wanted to get the magazine, so he had his wife Ruth join the league as an associate member, so he could get QST. But on principle, the rest of his life he never rejoined the league, and he would always razz me because I was opposed to incentive licensing too. And to razz me, he said, "You're a turncoat. Join the enemy," and all that kind of thing. And I didn't quite agree with that. I didn't agree with incentive licensing. I still think it's nonsense. But anyway.
That's funny. I was opposed to it, too.
I had it in general. There was no advanced class. They had stopped that license a long time ago. And the extra was, who bothered? Because it didn't buy anything. You didn't get any privileges. And nobody, frankly, gave a damn that you had one. It didn't even buy you bragging rights.
It still doesn't buy you anything. It's nonsense.
Well, I'm going to take the other side of the coin. I got my extra in, what was it, 1968. And they didn't have the extra spectrum for the CW operators, but at the time they let you get a two-letter call. So that's when I got my initials, K3TF.
Well, I was coming up on that. I was a member of QCWA in my 30s, and you needed an extra class license and
25 years in, so I qualified for that. So that was the theory of, think me, I don't know, getting the extra, but like, you know, honestly, I wanted a two-letter call.
Yeah, that was the deal for me, and I was always a CW operator. For some reason, the CW came easy, so, you know, taking the test, the 20 words per minute wasn't a problem, and, you know, I did engineering, so I you know, kind of knew the theory part. The only thing I had to study up on were the regulations, you know, memorize the frequencies.
I didn't have any trouble with the exams. I took all of them down at, well, my original exams I took at 2nd and Chestnut in the old customs house when the FCC was down there in that rickety old building. And then I did take a first class commercial and the extra up in, I guess that's 8th and Market, when they were in the federal building there, the Burn Federal building, and then took the extra in Baltimore. They weren't offering it the day I had off, and so I went hopped on a train at 30th Street Station, went down to Baltimore, and took the extra down there. But it's been, I don't know what the hell it is. I have to think about that. At least 45 years ago.
Oh, well, we, matter of fact, I took the train from Doylestown into Philly for my extra, and then later when I got, I wound up getting my FCC first class phone as well. The second, I reached the customs house sticks in my mind. Was that the one that was on 8th?
Well, it was on, no, that just was the 2nd at Chestnut. Old customs house, and then the FCC moved their offices into the federal building at 8th and Market.
Oh, yeah, it was a long time ago. I remember the guy that gave me my CW test, I think his name was Walsh. I'm sure he's gone at this point.
That was Joe Walsh. Yeah, he died. He was K3CT, Charlie Tango, and he lived down in Delaware County and worked at the commission. He was an examiner. When I joined the FCC, I had a chance to work with Joe, and it was a fun guy. Had a great sense of humor. We had a lot of laughs.
Yeah. I just remember the guy, you know, they would send 5 minutes worth of code, and I think you had to copy 1 minute of it somewhere in the middle of that, and then you had to send to him a little bit. They had a straight key or something set up. Seemed like a nice guy. Of course, I was nervous as anything back then.
Oh, I was nervous, too. I took my exam at 2nd and Chestnut, and I was, the hell, when I took my general, I think, 12, and the phones were too big, and I leaned forward. I was sitting at the table copying furiously, and the headphones fell off my head in the middle of the exam, and I just leaned over and kept copying. I didn't try to put them back on.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was, I think I was 15 years old at the time, and I remember the headphones. They were those, kind of crappy, I guess they were World War II headphones or whatever, but they didn't fit very well. I had one hand trying to hold the left earpiece against my ear, and my right hand was trying to scribble it down.
Well, Scott, I just leaned over, and I could hear it well enough to keep copying, and my mom pulled me into the city so I could take the exam. And I passed. I didn't have any problems with it. It was funny because there were a whole bunch of older guys there, and they were failing.
Yeah, there were three or four guys that took the test with me, as I recall. And I'm trying to remember, you know, I think back then you had to do the CW first, and then if you passed that, then you got to take the written part. But a couple of the guys that I was in the room with failed.
Yeah, that was going on. They couldn't pass the code. I never had trouble with code.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting. Small world.
Same. Just came. My mom went down with me, and but I just remember getting on the train in Doylestown, and however we wound up getting there. But yeah, I was. You know, when that day was over, I was happy.
Yeah. Well, I walked out of the office with a general. That was in the old federal building. They had the old woodwork, and it was dark and not very well lit, and the wooden floors. The customs house is now designated as a national historic landmark.
Sometime when I'm in the city, I'll have to, might be fun to just walk by the place and see what it looks like. Did you do any, with the first phone, did you do any broadcast engineering work? I did that for a little while, and then later got involved with other stuff.
I did.
Yeah, I worked at KYW in Philadelphia, and I worked at Public Broadcasting in New Jersey while I was going to school. And I went right after I got out of school, I went to work for the FCC, but I went to work for them in Washington.
Oh, okay. Well, I did a stint down in this will tax your brain cells. Way back, this was late 60s, I guess. It was a small TV station in Wildwood, New Jersey, WCMC on UHF Channel 40.
I worked at WGH, Whiskey Golf Hotel, AM.
Yeah. Well, I worked at KYW. Charlie McGee was director of engineering. I worked with Chris Payne. I worked at the television transmitter. Chris was chief engineer over at KYW AM. And he later left Westinghouse Broadcasting, which is who owned KYW at the time, and went to work for the NAB in Washington.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, later, my goal was to wind up at one of the big three stations in Philly, and wasn't able to get in. They weren't hiring at the time, and you kind of had to know somebody to get in there. But we went a different direction. Wound up working for a test equipment manufacturer designing actually RF measurement devices for TV transmitters. So I did get to, visit all the transmitter sites at Roxborough, along with most of the stations in the Northeast.
Which equipment manufacturer?
Tektronix. They're mainly known for oscilloscopes, but we had a division that did test equipment. You probably had some of the equipment kicking around there.
Oh, yeah. We had various monitors that were made by Tektronix to look at the waveform and so forth. And
yeah. Well, the last, 10, 15 years or whatever, I was involved with the big changeover to digital high-definition TV. We made, we designed ATSB modulation analyzers and MPEG analyzers, the equipment that was used with digital.
Well, I went another way. I went into law, and then later on, I represented Sarnoff for a while, Sarnoff Research, and they, of course, were doing work in high-def TV and all that. And,
yeah.
Licensed the technology that Sarnoff was developing.
Yeah.
Big technology and that kind of thing.
Remember that. Been out to Sarnoff many times. We developed a picture quality analyzer device. And they were using that, in the process. Back then it was, getting MPEG 2 to work. And for audio, we used in the U.S. Dolby compression AC3. So that was all very interesting.
Oh, you're quiet here this morning. I didn't mean to lock you out.
Who is quiet?
Bill.
I enjoy listening. You never know what you might learn.
I didn't mean to get carried away here. I apologize for that.
Everybody gets carried away. Take it easy. It's okay. Can't do it yet.
Yeah, I apologize, too. I kind of took over the frequency here. I get excited about something, and I keep going.
Alan, you were great.
It's not an issue, believe me.
I was telling Alan he was great.
Yes, he is, Renee.
Here's another subject to tax your memory. Do any of you remember, where was it, in Willow Grove, I think, Hamburger? They were at a ham radio outlet.
I do not.
They were right on Old York. He had a small store between, it was where, what is it, 611 and, what is it, Old York Road kind of merged, and remember the bottom of the hill there, and there's a train track crossing there, and the company was called Ham, H-A-M, then a separate word, Burger, and we used to stop there a lot of times on the way to the, another one, Germantown Radio Club. I wonder if you remember that one.
No, I do not. I was born and raised in Delaware County and then migrated down here near Glassboro, New Jersey. So, that's out of my beaten path.
Oh, I was from Virginia. I don't remember it at all.
Oh, yeah, they were a small store, and that was back before the big ones, HRO, and the rest of them came into existence. But yeah, used to go there, and Delaware County. I'm sure you know where Springfield is.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, well, that's I met my better half in Springfield. She lived actually right on Springfield Road.
Met my better half in Westchester.
Oh, okay. Yeah, very good. Guys, I probably should get out of here. I apologize for hogging things up here. We got a few things to take care of this morning, and the weather's nice. I think I'm going to poke my head outside for a little bit before it rains. Thanks a lot, guys. This is K3TF, K3 Tango Foxtrot. We'll be getting out of here.
You take care, Tom. Have a good day. It's enjoyable as always. W3BB.
Tom, where are you located?
Was that, were you asking me, Renee?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, I'm a little west of Norristown, if you know the area between Norristown and Eagleville.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I'm located in Gettysburg, Maryland.
Oh, okay. All right, nice to meet you. We'll look for you again here. I'm sure we'll bump into you guys in the morning again. Got to get going here. 73, thanks a lot.
Yep, take care, Tom. Yep, 73, Tom. Come on back when you get the check.
73, Tom.
This is K8. Who is it? Would you 3BV on the 1000B here this morning? That sounds beautiful.
Yep,
and I'm not going to use an old piece of microphone. This is, what the hell is this? I think this is the, what do they call this thing? The MD1. Sounds beautiful on there. There you go. Well,
K3 engine.
Nice full envelope and nice audio quality. And, and someone sticking a microphone right in the front of a 1000D, that thing is top shelf.
Yeah, well, I did. This has been helped along a little bit with the INRAD broader filters, sideband filters.
Yep, that's the way to have them.
Yep. That's basically a plug-in deal. Well, a little alignment work and that kind of thing, but...
Now, do you still have the narrow filters in there, Alan, when you go to narrow?
Yeah. Well, what I did is move the, I should actually, I took the, out of the 2.0, you know, the 2 kilohertz filters, I took the 2.4s in there, but I should, the, took the 2 kilohertz filters out, and what I should do is put the narrower ones in there, and I do have the other, all the filters are here. This is the D model, and it's got the narrow CW filters and so forth.
Yep.
I don't find I need a lot of that. I don't know what the experience of others is, but I find even in the heavy QRM, I can hear through all that with pretty much the stock filters. I don't find the wider sideband filters to be a handicap.
Yeah, well, got plenty of punch. I'm looking at your envelope. It's nice and full. And it sounds very, very good. It sounds like a modern radio, not all pinched up like they were when they came out of the box. And that had to have been the worst out-of-the-box sounding radio. But, yeah, with the wider filters in it, it really, really sounds good.
Good.
I mean good. You know, nice punch, nice full envelope, nice average talk power. Well, they're great for that anyway, so...
Sounds great. Some other, a bunch of other mods in here are the W8 JI. A couple of the mods he came up with are in here, and some other stuff.
Yep.
And it's set up so I can drive it with external audio directly into the balance modulator. But I don't really find that, for the most part, I need that. For what we're doing here, I mean, this is basically a rag-shoe radio for me anyway, you know?
Yeah.
But I like it. Big old heavy radio. I had this thing a long time.
Yeah.
Well, they're good morning from W2GOR.
Hey, there's Gordon.
Morning, Gordon.
Morning, Alan. Good morning, Bill. How are you?
Stupendous on this end.
Yeah, you guys sound good. I like your transmission, Alan. It sounds good. What is that radio?
This is an FT-1000 Delta.
Oh, okay. I was working here in the shack and heard you guys talking about NRAD filters. I played around with some old Collins gear with some wider filters, and it's a lot of fun.
Well, that's what I wanted to do with one of my S-lines. I have some 2.7s and I have some 3.1s.
I have a bunch of those 3.1s, and I put one in the KWM2A. Worked perfectly, and just opened everything up. And you're limited by the distortion, of course, of other components, but it sounds really nice, and it doesn't have that 2.1 little pinch sound to it.
Collins, it improves the signal to noise ratio, and there's a lot to be said for narrower filters, but for what we're trying to do, for a lot of us, is an optimum. I think I prefer the little fuller audio.
Yeah, of course, it'll bring up the bass, and then you have to adjust accordingly, just like any radio today needs that little bit of high-frequency pre-emphasis. But, yeah, we had a lot of fun with that. I did that with two radios and popped them in. They were Collins mechanical filters. I think it was, like you say, 3.1. And the only problem I had was the center frequency shifted, of course, and I didn't want to have spend $100 on crystals to be made, so I get a little bit of energy on the opposite sideband, but no big deal.
Well, you know what? I got lucky. I was with a friend of mine at the Rochester Hamfest, and they had a whole bunch of these Harris transceivers that had 3.1 kilohertz Collins filters, the FA series filters, came as in the S line, and nobody wanted them, and we bought the whole pile of them, borrowed some tools, and took the filters and the crystals out, and I think the 6146s that were in the file, and then junked the rest of them, put them in a dumpster.
That was a nice find.
The radios cost us like $10 a pop. Some kind of thing made for a military application, I guess, or some commercial thing.
That's what a find.
But they had the right filters in there, on the, so
it was a great deal with the matching crystals.
Now, I'm not that familiar with radios, but is that you're referring when you mentioned the crystals to the adjusting the center frequency, right?
Carrier oscillator crystals, yeah.
Yeah, okay, right, because it's going to change. You know who taught me about that by phone? Great guy, Rob Sherwood. He did that exact thing you're talking about, and he was very nice. We talked on the phone, and he explained how when you open up the frequency bandwidth, you're going to have to move that frequency. But I never went ahead with it. I would have sold these KWM2As. I have three of them here, and one of them has the Waters filter, which is nice. And, you know, but the demand has gone way down. I can't get what I could get for them 2 years ago.
Well, go up on the Collins Collectors nets. You can look them up there on 1463 on Sunday afternoons. They have a midweek net, I guess, on Wednesday or whatever, and you'll find Collins devotees, and that's where you would go to. And I'm looking at one of my KWM2As here, which has the Waters key multiplier in it.
Oh, nice. Is that the same thing I have, the rejection tuning?
Yeah, that's basically what it is, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was able to achieve nice results with that, even compared to modern radios. In some ways, it was as effective or more effective. And I actually use it to take the mid-range out, you know, in the IF stage, I guess it is. And between that and the 3.1K, it was on a nice Collins speaker. It was pleasurable to listen to. And there were some times where the static overcame my FDR transceivers here, Anon and Flex. But yet the Collins could handle the static better, in my opinion. Have you heard about RF and amplitude modulated low power RF being used in medical purposes?
He probably had to get the phone, Gordon.
Okay. Yeah, you heard what I said about medical?
Yeah, I know nothing about that.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're finding out that they can kill certain cancers with RF that has amplitude modulation, certain tones in it. Unbelievable.
Wow. That's interesting.
Yeah, I'm actually on that device right now myself for a treatment as I'm speaking with you. And, you can wrap it around your finger or you can put a little probe by your mouth. And it gives you a few hundred milliwatts of citizens band frequency. 27.12 is the universal frequency used for treatment using RF, because that's the frequency that goes throughout the whole body. And it has tones on it, and these tones will change the way calcium is processed in the body, a calcium channel that can actually treat many, many different problems invented in Germany.
Oh, we don't go.
Yep, I'm on it right now, and that's been actually helping my situation. So, these guys are unbelievable. I flew out there. I actually flew out to Switzerland 4 months ago, Bill. Said, getting on a plane. I'm going to meet these people. I'm going to go to the laboratory and bring this thing back home. So it's pretty unbelievable that audio and ham radio combined could be a cure.
Yeah, well, having spent a considerable time on CB, I remember the diathermy machines you could hear on CB. They were pain in the ass back in the day, but... Yeah, this is something new. Good.
Yeah. What is diatherm? What does that mean?
It was used that you were in an accident or something like that, and they, yeah, but this, its frequency was on CB, and it would, I don't know all the medical benefits, but it would help muscle aches and promote healing. That's all I know about it, but it was really quite powerful. And when the doctor fired up that machine, you were subject to having a change frequency.
Right. Okay, so that was on CB too, right?
Yep, it was.
Yep, amazing.
Amazing.
27.12, which would tell me that guys running 50,000 watts on CB on should probably not be right near the antenna.
Yeah, they may still use that today. I don't know. Well, it was quite popular back in the 60s when I got on CB. I got on CB in the early 60s, somewhere around 62. And,
Wow, okay. All right, I'm going to head back to work here and got to get some paperwork done for a meeting. Good to talk to you there. Hope all is well, my friend.
Yeah, and same with you. I hope you're doing well, and always a pleasure listening to you and hearing you on the radio.
Yeah, you too. Say goodbye to Alan for me. Talk to you soon.
Be sure.
Take care, Gordon. Have a good day.
Bring that phone caller out and get you have with you a lot of times.
So that was a double. There's a contact there. Bill, was that for me what you said? There was a double.
Yeah, that old fella that follows you around. You want to bring him out for a little while or no?
Okay, contact standby one moment. Bill, do I want to bring what with me? I'm sorry?
The old fellow that usually is with you there.
Oh, I don't know if the other guys on the frequency are going to appreciate that. Let me let you pick up those stations. Rain check.
Okay. I'm not hearing the other station too well, but give it a go, mate.
This is KA2ECA in southern New Jersey.
I was saying take care, Gordon.
This is KC3 Indy.
You have three stations.
Yeah, the guy that was screaming contact or whatever. I guess he's not hearing me either. So.
Well, if you don't mind standing by, let me pick him up. I think he's directing a question, a medical question, about this device. The gentleman, there's a few stations, but the gentleman about 27 megahertz, I have to run, but do you want to ask me a quick question? This is Gordon. Over. Keep talking. Are you someone who's interested in using it or just interested for the science of it? Okay. Best to contact the company. They're called Therabionic. Thera, then Bionic, one word, in Germany. I flew out there and met them. They're the real deal, and they're approaching the FDA now. Check it out. Read. It would be much better than my my version of it. Over. Yeah, it's just 100 milliwatts, 27.2 megahertz. I could probably build one myself, but I'd probably burn my tongue off. Imagine that, Bill. I bump into the mouse on the Anon, and it goes to 100 watts in my mouth.
I typed in diathermy, and I'm seeing Richmark at TheraTouch Diathermy.
Yeah, check out Therabionic. His name is Boris Pash. He's become a good friend. He's at Wake Forest University, head of oncology there. He's a great guy. He studied at Harvard Medical School, Sloan Kettering in New York. He's a great guy. And he, I'm helping them out because these connectors are breaking. They have these connectors that are flimsy because they don't want, you know, to put pressure. If you put this little probe near your mouth, you know, they don't want it pulling, but the thing keeps breaking. So I'm sitting here soldering. Who would think? But, you know, having these SDRs, you can monitor the IMD, so you know if you're getting a good SWR by putting the
the base unit on your leg when you're sitting at a chair at your desk. You can rest it on your thigh and put a little strap there, and that proximity makes the body counterpoise. So it's pretty funny. So I'm talking to these German engineers, and they're like, oh, you know what counterpoise is? I said, yeah, I'm a ham operator. Bill, go ahead, and then I'll let you pick up the conversation.
Yeah, okay, very good.
Yeah, very promising. All right, 73, everybody, W2GOR.
Yeah, I'm just sitting here with my nose in this right now, so yeah.
Very, very cool stuff.
Hey, Jewish yet? See you later, Gordon.
W3BP.
Yeah, take care.
KC3MG.
Mikey's gotten into AM.
AM. AM check-ins. Come now and come slowly.
He'll have to get himself some boat anchor.
It's a wonderful mode.
Yeah, I like AM.
Yeah, so they found new, wow, this is unbelievable.
Found new what?
They found new uses for the diathermy.
Oh, I see.
This is basically what Gordon was talking about. Interesting. I don't know I guess, but I was telling Gordon that, if you live near a doctor, people would go and get diathermy treatments if they had some type of orthopedic problem. They were in a car accident or whatever, and it was shown to be of great help, but now they're finding out that it goes after inferior tissue as well. Wow.
When I was in the city yesterday, I suggested we, jokingly, of course, that we walk up Arch Street, which was Philadelphia's Radio Row.
Yeah, well,
a lot of the places that I used to go to are now parking lots.
Yeah.
Gone.
Oh, I looked up that SEPTA thing. Yeah, I think they want you to be a resident of Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Lottery funds this, and
they tell you what
idea is good. Pennsylvania driver's license is one of them, and then if yours has a magnetic strip, then you could just use that for the card readers, and they'll let you go through. But and you can apply for a SEPTA ID card, but I think if you're a non-resident of Pennsylvania, they. It reads that way anyway. They didn't come right out and say it, but just the idea of a Pennsylvania driver's license kind of clued me in. And funded by the Pennsylvania Lottery. It's pretty cool. New Jersey and NJ Transit should do something like that. They may. I don't know. that would make it much better for me to go over to Delaware County and hop on a SEPTA train there and go into Center City rather than drive into Center City or go get a Lindenwald line and go in that way. It's much easier. But anyway.
I would think if you showed them a Medicare card, they wouldn't look at it too carefully.
Yeah, that is one of the things, but then they might let you on it. Do you have a driver's license?
No, I don't drive anymore. That's why I'm on a train. I have to think fast, Bill.
I know. I could fall into a pile of boobs and wind up with a broken jaw sometimes.
Well, whatever. I'm just helping you out over here. I thought it was a nice deal because then I didn't know that. I learned something back from you. My driver's license does have the magnetic strip.
Yeah, I read about it. It's really cool. I wish more and more states would do that.
Well, it's common in Europe for senior citizens to get to. In Ireland, the senior citizen can ride on the buses, the trains, everything for free. European countries do that sort of thing.
Just looking at your email from Miss Shaky Head.
I got a kick out of that.
Realize the con money before you see it coming.
Where Trump is suggesting the military ought to take a disciplinary action against Vindman.
Yeah, and he's gotten his hands in that other deal.
Roger Stone.
Yeah, with Roger. Yeah, God.
Well, the judge can still ignore all that and go with the sentencing guidelines, but then I think that Trump wants to pardon him. Anybody that was involved in this thing on his side, he said, basically between him and Barr, will tolerate all kinds of wrongdoing. I mean, anybody that would, in the middle of a trial, post a target alongside a picture of the judge, is pretty tolerant about that. And then witness tampering, which is extremely serious. And witnesses and that kind of thing. That's mob tactics. Trump doesn't see a problem with that. I mean, he really does undermine the fundamental rule of law in the justice system. He doesn't think the guy did anything wrong. It's okay to threaten witnesses. Maybe a thug does that or the mob does it, but certainly not law-abiding citizens don't do that. The federal sentencing guidelines provide for much stiffer sentences as a result of doing that.
I look at it this way. You or I try that stunt.
You'd be doing 10 years in the federal lockup.
Easily. Maybe more. Didn't he show a picture or something of a gun and tell the FBI he would be waiting for them?
Yeah,
that's nice. You try that.
And then what he said was, he's trying to say that it's unfair that he's been called to account for, I mean, serious criminal behavior. Well, the judge needs to write a scathing opinion. And, of course, even the pardon, that doesn't remove the conviction. All that does is remove the consequences. You're still convicted. Stone is really a dirty bird. He really is a nasty piece of work. I remember Joe Arpaio went into court. One of the judges, once he got the pardon, removed the conviction. The judge says, you remain convicted. It's just the consequences of the conviction are removed, but you're still a convicted felon. You're still a criminal. A pardon doesn't say you did right. It's okay. No, that's not what a pardon does. And of course, our pardon. I guess he ran for the Senate and lost badly.
Just read this morning that AOC is getting primaried.
Well, I'm I'm sure. The, let's see, where now people are threatening Gail King as a result of some of the things she said. You know, death threats and that kind of thing. That shows you the people on the right. I don't see a lot of people on the left threatening people with bodily harm.
Law-abiding citizens. We're all law-abiding citizens. I love hearing... And don't get me wrong. I like guns. I like the idea. I think New Jersey's gone a bit too far. But having said all that, I hear people, talking about guns, and I work with them, and I hear them on the radio, and it's just out and about, and they always have to, when they're talking about guns, they have to stress that they're law-abiding citizens, and the Constitution grants me, the right to own a gun, blah, 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 and they underline law-abiding citizens. I mean, it's not one sentence. It's every sentence that they take, they include law-abiding citizens. And then, you talk to them a little more and you start talking to them about the Declaration of Independence, and which means absolutely almost nothing other than it's a document telling the king to go screw himself. It says in the Constitution that if I don't like some such government that is not right for the people, we're allowed to overthrow it. I don't use my guns to do that. I'm allowed to have that because in case the government needs to be overthrown. Oh, so now you're not a law-abiding citizen.
Well, part of the problem is in this country we change the government by voting. We don't do it by force. Now we have a president that basically wants to ignore the law and he's a fascist and a dictator. I was listening to Lloyd Blankfein here on CNBC a few minutes ago. He was saying if we elect Bernie Sanders, it'll ruin the economy. Well, it might not be quite as good for you, but it won't ruin the economy.
I make no bones about it. I'm a Bernie Sanders person, but and we've given to his campaign. But having said that, when the primary gets to New Jersey here, our vote in New Jersey means very little, but I will vote for Bernie Sanders. But whoever comes out of the convention, I will vote for them. I don't have much choice, do I?
Yeah, well, I think, do you agree with all the specifics? I think Bernie Sanders pretty accurately describes what's going on in this country. I think Elizabeth Warren describes it. If you look at some of the biggest corporations of America, for instance, Amazon and others, they manage not to pay any taxes. You get the benefit of an educated workforce, military protection, stable economy to operate from, and the rest of it, and they don't pay any taxes. But they sure come at, and of course, wealthy engage, like Trump has engaged in tax evasion for years.
Well, a lower paying, a.k.a. Amazon, actually benefits from two sides of it because they get their workers that are held up and paid for or helped to pay for by our tax dollars. So they make out of both ends of that spectrum.
Yep. Well,
corporate socialism. That's okay.
Yeah. I listen to these guys here, including one of our town supervisors that is railing against socialism and this, that, and the other. And yet he's a farmer. I looked him up on the website. See, he's receiving hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of subsidies from the taxpayers. Now, if he was really in the free market and the rest of it, he wouldn't be looking for a handout from the taxpayers. You talk about taking away farm subsidies, and they really scream.
Yeah, well, everybody's for their own brand of socialism. Yeah, and somebody else's brand of socialism. No, that's socialism. We can't have that. But my brand is socialism. Oh, don't call it socialism. It's not really socialism, even though it is. But my brand is something for nothing. It's good.
Yep, and they, the dairy farmers, like their subsidies. You say, well, let's take away all the farm subsidies. And they say, well, you'll all starve. Well, not really. If there's a vacuum, somebody will fill it. If there's a profit to be made. And reduce the number of competitors and the supply under the laws of economics, the price will go up.
I don't see where, well, in the first place, you also look at the fact that consumption of milk is declining rapidly. And they're kind of up against it. Look in Wisconsin, how many dairy farms have failed here in the last year or two
because people are not drinking milk.
Yeah, well, it's... My brand of socialism is better than your brand, and we need my brand of socialism, and we don't need your brand of socialism. So, buzz off.
It always comes down to, as long as I'm getting mine, to hell with you. You know, hooray for me, to hell with you.
Yeah.
Typical you.
And then they get upset about, the various schemes that the wealthy come up with to avoid paying taxes and avoid regulation. Trump now wants to... got the Clean Air and Water Act and curtail sharply the budget of the Environmental Protection Agency. I assume he doesn't think his water supply is threatened by that, but the rest of us know that our water supply is threatened by that.
Well, he can have some type of clean water filtered, or he can have it blown in.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what Don Blankenship did in West Virginia, poisoned the, with his mining operations, poisoned the rivers and the streams and the water supply of many, many thousands of people. And then he decided, out of caution, he would install a private water filtration system for his mansion. So he was going to get, and the others didn't have that option. They didn't have that kind of money.
Yeah, well, all under the name of why should we protect streams that go nowhere? How many streams do you know of that go nowhere, Alan?
Yeah. Well, corporate America would like to use the air and the rivers and so forth, the streams, as their sewer.
Well, they did, and they were stopped from doing that for the most part. But, yeah, let's go back to the good old days. What the hell?
Well, if you don't have to pay for proper waste disposal, your profits go up.
Yes, they do.
So that's the idea. And if you get rid of Social Security, the employer won't have to pay that 6.5%, whatever it is, for Social Security. So there's a lot of things like that, you know. And a fellow called in here the other day and said that I was spreading a false narrative about Trump wanting to cut Social Security. Well, go look at his budget proposal. Massive cuts to Social Security and Medicare.
They're going to get rid of all the fraudulent claims. That's what it is.
But they also want to... But you go look at it. Under Medicare, they want to cut sharply reimbursement to hospitals.
Yeah. Well,
but what do you think the effect of that's going to be?
Well, it'll all be okay. Got the best economy going, the cleanest water and air in the world. We got all this going for the best economy in the world. I mean, we're saving America.
Well, in the first place, he's looking at the stock market, which is not the economy. I mean, remember we had Sal in here last week trying to sell us with the idea that the economy last year grew at 3.5%. It didn't reach 3.5% in any quarter of last year. The growth was 2.3%. The first quarter of 2019 hit about a little over 3%, 3.1%, and then it went straight downhill and averaged out at about 2.1% for the rest of the year, the succeeding quarters. And now it's headed down, probably projections are somewhere between 1.8% and 1.9%. So economic growth in the three successive quarters, we've seen a decline in corporate investment. Starts looking at this kind of stuff. I mean, some people do have problems with reality, but Trump gets on there and says this is the greatest economy. In fact, in the last 3 years of Obama's administration, they created more jobs than they have in the first 3 years of Trump's administration.
And 19% fewer jobs.
They can argue that's as a result of full employment and all that kind of thing, but he can't say they've outdone everybody else because they didn't, and this tax cut was by far and away not the biggest tax cut in American history. And then, of course, he says his electoral victory was the greatest. It was number 47, pal. It wasn't number one. It's just on and on and on with that kind of nonsense. You know, the low-information voter, they buy that.
Well, don't bother to fact-check. Don't bother paying any attention. The president said it. It's got to be true.
Well, and it's funny, Laura Ingraham was on there last night whining about Bernie Sanders. She fears that he will have a juggernaut on the left that will be equal to or better than whatever Trump can muster. That there'll be a wave.
Well, until the Clinton era, there were a lot of Bernie Sanderses out there. New Deal Democrats, and then the Clintons sort of killed that. I'll be right back. I gotta run that dog out. I'll be right back. K3CX.
No, okay, no problem. I'm gonna go fill my cup. W3BV.
K3NV.
W3LLV. And oh, before I forget, Lynn, 2BSN, thanks for passing all of Floyd's information that I sent you to Bob Hobday. The issue's been resolved. He got his two back issues. They have the address. AWA has his correct address now. So everything is good. He's very happy. I also filled out all the paperwork. So Paul, his FCC license, will reflect his current mailing address. And I also contacted the ARRL to get its QST sent. So I have no more action items currently with Floyd. But he sounds good. He's very happy where he is. His eyesight is not getting any better, but he seems to be dealing with that pretty well. And he called me the last 2 days. He's been trying to find John, WH3TWH, or TWH, yeah. TWS, I think it is. Forget John's last letter of his call. But anyway, I understand John took a bad fall. Roy took a very, very bad fall. And I guess he was in a rehab facility. And Floyd called and called and called that number. And somebody else picked up the phone. So my guess is that Roy has been released. But I don't have a home phone number for him. So if anybody has any information, either send it to me via email or over the air or whatever. And I told Floyd I'd get back to him with any updated status on Roy. So, W-A-3-Y-N-W, W-3-G-M-S.
Okay, Joe, we'll point. W3GMS, WA3YNW. Well, good morning to you and everyone on the net. We're at 46 degrees this morning and some sunshine for a change. Well, the last couple of days it's been rather damp and soggy around here, and I almost see the point of getting out of my water wings. Yeah, we've had quite a bit of it, and I think we're in probably for another stage later on this week, but we'll wait and see when that comes around. Oh, good. Nice hearing John on this morning. My God, it's been a while since I heard TQN come on. John, hope you're doing well, and thank you for improving for you. And, yeah, I'd like to try to get the toy sometime. I've yet to do it. I've been awfully missing that. And Joe, fine on your cruise to Bahamas. Yeah, the ocean can get rather rough at times, and I guess the captain was trying to get off the lee side of it to smooth the ride as best he could. I thought most of the ships had some kind of stabilizer on, but I guess perhaps the sea was pretty rough, and it didn't do much good. But anyway, that's probably about it. Let's go around here and kind of cut me off guard a little bit this morning. So, over to Jeff. W3JWXNN,
WA3YNW. Okie doke, Bill. Very good. WA3YNW in the AWA NAS assist W3JW. And, Joe, thanks for that little bit of an update on Roy. I think I have his phone number around here. It's probably buried in my notebook, and I'll have to thumb back through that. If I get it, I'll get it up to you. I'm assuming he'll go back to his own home and use his long-term phone number. That's what I would have from probably several years ago. Anyway, it's a decent day down here. Not real sunny, but a little bit of it, and certainly the temperatures are very good for the month of February. We got our electric radio magazine yesterday, the February issue, and so we've got that to peruse. We've already scanned through it one time, and we'll go back and pick up the pieces over the next few days. And we had our local ham radio club meeting yesterday and had a real nice presentation on the installation of an amateur radio station. It's not particularly antique-oriented, although the boat is vintage. It's a sailboat about 40 feet long, and this guy inherited the boat, and he wants to put it back like the original owner had it, and this was sort of a slideshow and talk about where he stands in that process. So that was quite interesting. We enjoyed that thoroughly. Other than that, not too much. Paul, thanks for standing in for Roy here this morning. We'll only be in the first round here today. And we'll listen out for probably 5 or 10 more minutes, and then we're out of here. K4, KRE, I think you're the next man up, the last man up, W3JW.
W3JW and the AWA, this is K4, KRE. Okay, here we are, last man, and as usual. Okay, copied everybody. Signals are fine today, no problems at all. Temperature here is about 42 degrees, and bright sun. We had a lot of rain over the past few days, but we've survived that. And there was some violent storms over last weekend. Didn't affect me on my immediate area here, but some other areas severely affected in some cases, even tornadoes, small tornadoes being in effect. Stu, I think if you request a room there, then you might get a particular room and a particular floor. You might get some satisfaction on that if you just let them know. I've attended the conference for many years, and I've always been on an upper floor. I never requested anything else, except year before last. I did not get there last year, but year before last, I was on the first floor. So I don't know if they looked at my record and said, well, he's been at this thing for many, many years, and he must be pretty old now, so maybe it'll save him some climbing stairs. That's just speculation on my part. Let's see. Lynn, on your presentations to kids and so on, my son was in the Cub Scouts. I think he was, I put on a presentation for the kids in his group. I think they were in the range of 9 years old or so, somewhere in that range. And I put together a little display with motors and I even brought in an oscilloscope and so on, and I was trying to demonstrate the relationship between electric current and magnetic magnetism, electromagnetism, and I think it all went with all the equipment I had set up and so on. I think it went way over the kid's head, and I would have been much better off with some iron filings and a battery and a coil and so on as a demonstration. It would have made much more sense to them. I have a note here which is kind of hard to interpret, but I finally figured out what it is. It's Roy's phone. And remember, Roy, in the past, has had two houses, and I probably have his phone number, but I suspect it's on his first house, which would be quite a while ago. I will look in my records also and see what we can find. That's about all I have, so we'll go through the list again, and it will be now, John, you kind of caught me by surprise here when I heard your call, and I was sitting here trying to say, TQN, TQN, I know that call, but anyhow, welcome back, it's really good to hear you. So here, we'll go through the list here, and it will be K2PQN, W2AO, Lynn is out, W3GMS, WA3YNW, and Jeff is out. Back to K4KLE. So go ahead, John, K2PQN, and the AWA K4KLE.
Okay, K4KRE in the group, K2TQN. Well, good morning once again to everybody. Yeah, I've not been on the air. In fact, I haven't even been listening. I've been napping some mornings because I have a little trouble sleeping on some nights. And I usually fall asleep about the time the net goes on. And I've been involved in some family tree projects, which is keeping me busy the other time. But, I'm about the same as I was the last time you heard me. Can't travel far from the house. I got about a 4-hour window I can be away, and I got to be back to the house. So that keeps me in home or near home all the time, and mostly in the home. The only time I go out is to go see another doctor, of which I have too many. So, that's it. W2AO. I wish I could make the AWA conference, but there's just no way of getting from here to there. So, I won't be able to make that one, that's for sure. Just have to go on my good memories of the good times I had there. W2AO in a group, K2TQN.
Okay, thank you. Well, I'll tell you, this is W2AO. The fact you two are there made it very pleasant for us. Over the years with your demonstrations and so forth, and good to hear your voice again. You got a lovely people up there, and I'm trying to come over. So
nice to have you with us. And as I said before, it's good to have Joe back. It's, sounds like he and Martha had a lovely time. You know, Joe, I think it's good you did that. You need to get away for a while and breathe and relax. You do so much for so many different people. And you have to just take it easy once in a while and get your breath back, I would think. I don't know how you have as much energy as you do, really. But I certainly take my hat off to you for helping so many different people on so many different issues. One of the things that we start to look forward to this time of year is the Kutztown meet. I didn't get there last one because, let's see, what was it? It was because of my leg having surgery and all that stuff. And I called him up, told him I wouldn't be there. And I told him, you know, it was a medical issue and I'll be darned. They transferred my credit and my table number to this May, which I thought was very delightful of them to do that. They certainly don't have to do it. But they really treat their customers well there. That's a nice staff they have over at Kutztown. And I love it because, well, I love it for many reasons. But I like it really well because there's pool times where we have all the people coming So if you want to try out a piece of equipment or demonstrate something to somebody, why, you can do it. And we stay about 10, 12 miles north of it. At the, I can't even remember the name of it there, but it's a lovely motel. We like it. And then we just drive down. Friday, to me, is the best day. Friday's the best day. But two days, Friday and Saturday. So hopefully, if you go, I'll see why I wouldn't eat if I still have the brace. Although I don't think I will in May, but I haven't checked out now anyway. But we'll have to take it from there, so to speak. And I might get the room set aside somewhere. I don't know if they're on the 15th floor or down in the basement, but at least we have a place there, so that's what we're doing. And they do set, I know, set a certain number of rooms aside for the AWA. And the people that are actively involved have activities over in the conference room. Get the ones that are in that hallway there that they just have a short walk. That makes sense. So we'll have fun. I like it very, very much and really look forward to it like I used to years ago because of so many nice new additions and so forth. So with that, let's see who we're going to turn it to now. Let's try W3GMS. And I wonder if you notice that the linear's on, Joe. You know what? What I'll do is I'll reach up here and turn it off. Okay. There you have about 35 watts. And now you have about 500. So there you go. Over.
Yeah, I noticed quite a big difference. To W2AO, W3GMS. I have the RF gain turned back on the receiver just to keep the residual noise down. Because everybody's strong, so I feel, why have the RF gain up when you don't need that sensitivity? So I can't give you a really good S-meter, because when you back the RF gain back on the Jupiter, the S-meter doesn't function as well. It does to a certain point, but I have it turned way back this morning, because everybody's signal is so strong. But just listening, it definitely made a big difference. Let's see, I forgot to answer a few things. The one thing is the conference lodging. When I call up and make reservations, Martha and I always request a business suite. It's upstairs. They used to be just regular rooms,
but they redid them, and they're very, very nice. And they're not that much more money, and this, that, and the other. So last year when I called, I said, I'd like to make a reservation for the business suite, and it was an extra amount of money. I said, I don't have any problem with that. I'll pay that. And they said, well, we can't guarantee it. I said, well, why can't you guarantee it? If I give you the money now and the room's available, why can't you guarantee it? And they gave me some dissertation on that about how they reserve their rooms and how the rooms are really reserved very close into the date. And it, honestly, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me. But everything turned out fine. So I think for the other rooms, the regular rooms there, I think they, I think when you call, they can't guarantee any room location. They try to adhere to the floor you want to be on. So you might say my preference is the first floor, but they won't guarantee that. So that's kind of how it is. Of course, they have the elevators now, and it's no big deal. So with, you know, you don't have to deal with stairs or anything. But that's it. But in my experience, anything I've asked for always worked out well. And I was quite surprised because I didn't think I was going to get the business suite upstairs. The room's a little bit bigger, and there's two of us, and it's just a little bit nicer. And it wasn't that much more money, so we splurged for that. And they redid that, the upper two floors, I think, of the conference center, the rooms there, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, something like that. Okay, so that's as much as I know about it, Stu. So get your call in, get your reservation in, tell them the floor you'd want to be on, and I think you'll do fine with that, even though they say they can't guarantee it. They really try to please. And thank you all for looking up Roy's phone number and sending it to me, and I promised Floyd I'd give Floyd a call back once I got Roy's phone number, because he's really anxious to communicate with him. According to Floyd, he was really banged up in a recent fall, and I don't have the details on that. I thought some of you may. And Kutztown meat, yep, that's on my list. That's a must. We really, really enjoy that. It's only about an hour and a half drive for us, so it's not that far away, and it's just pleasant. And it's always good to talk to you, Stu, and Victoria, and just it's just a nice event. And, you know, among all those broadcast receivers, which I don't collect, you find an amateur radio gem. And I'll never forget when you found me the Utah UAT-1 transmitter. And that's in position one in room one of the museum. So paired up with a 30s vintage receiver. So there you go. Let's see, what else am I forgetting? Everybody sounds good. Signals are good. And I guess that's it. And, Paul, thank you very much for taking over as net control station in absence of, in Roy's absence. So I guess nobody really knows what's going on with Roy. That's a shame, but sometimes that happens. And, Stu, thank you for your kind comments. And, yeah, it was good to get away. No phone, no email. You know, we were completely off the grid. It is good to take a break. And I'll tell you, it's busy around here. It is a busy, busy, busy place. So you got to take, what's the old saying? You got to take time to smell the roses. WA3YNW, W3GMS. Hopefully we'll hear all you guys on the AM AWA QSO party this weekend. All the details are on the website. And there's going to be a new AWA website. It's going to be rolled out latter part of March if things go as planned. I've been working with Richard, our webmaster, on some of the stuff. And it's really, really a nice, nice site. So I think everybody is going to enjoy it. WA3YNW in the group, W3GMS.
Okay, go W3GMS. W3YNW. We'll find a state. You know, all those things are holding up forever at this point. And I didn't know Roy had taken the fall. I know he had been on the net on Wednesday and didn't know what really was going on. I knew he had other medical problems. I just know that, so hopefully he'll get himself straightened up and we'll get to hear that voice of his again. And by the way, Joe, that key you were talking about a while ago, I'm surprised it doesn't have the German eagle on it somewhere. If it's made in the private late thirties, it probably should have, but I'm not saying that it does. I don't know.
But I tell you, if you, I would like you to take a picture of it, then, because I would run it, I'm saying. And, of course, like everything else, I'm sure it's very, very high quality, and I imagine it probably sent very, very well. But other than that, that's not a bad idea. I would like to give you some of those comments, but it's just too far from me that way. Anymore, I don't hardly get away from Alburn anymore. So with that, that'd be all around, and all here comes K4KRE and K3YNW.
WA3YNW and the AWA, this is K4KRE. Okay, we can't see everybody.
Hold on a second.
Got a phone call coming in here. Copied everybody, as I said, noise level came up. It's kind of interesting. This noise level frequently comes up during the sessions here. We often start with the noise source, and then during the session. The level comes up, and that's what it did this time. And it was interesting on the YNW's transmission there. I could copy him over the noise level. He was not very strong, but he was coming over the noise level. And during his transmission, though, the noise level came up and his signal went down. So some kind of twist in conditions. At any rate, that's all we have. And so we'll stand by for any other comments. This is K4KRE.
And I'd be more than happy to send you a picture of the key. That's on my to-do list today. Is to take a picture of it, Bill, so you'll get a copy. Yes, I was reading that, and I think that's great. So I've been following that. I guess I first heard that news maybe last week and a half ago or something like that, and it looks like it's going to happen.
Oh, that's good. I think when I saw they were still talking about it, and of course I guess they'll do it all robotically at that depth of water anyway. So yes, indeed, I wasn't certainly about to say that there, that it's what they were saying, that they just the faster that they had figured on it. I think we've only got about a year or two of opportunity to do this, if not to bring it for me. Okay, thank you, Joe. I appreciate the picture. K4KRE, the net, WA3YNW.
Okay, WA3YNW. This is K4KRE. Are there any other comments or messages for the AWA net at this time? This is K4KRE.
Yeah, I have a question for you, Paul. It's the W2AO.
Okay, Phil, go ahead.
Are you going to go to the conference this year? Are you going to be able to make that?
I think I will, yes. I'm going to try my best to make it. Let's put it that way. And I think it's a positive yes. W2AO, K4KRE.
Oh, that's so nice. You know, this will be a special conference. It really will, because the theme is the evolution of ham radio. How more convenient, and we can get a lot of the those that have been going for a while there to make it a special event in particular. Over.
Roger. Yeah, it should be a good one. At any rate, are there any other comments for the AWA net? This is K4KRE.
W34KRE. Technical 3 answer. W3AMT.
I'm not sure I had that call right. Go ahead.
Okay, Whiskey 3, Alpha, Mike, Charlie, W3AMC, and the name here is David.
And I know Bill very well, YMW.
We had to take up the band a bit more. And I'm curious where you're located at. I'm in a place called Fogelsville, Pennsylvania. I'm west of Allentown, in the Lehigh Valley area. Go ahead.
W3AMC. This is K4KRE. I'm having a little trouble receiving you here, not because of signal strength, but because of noise. Local noise has cropped up here. At any rate, my location is Annandale, Virginia, and I'm about 15 miles west of Washington, D.C.
Running a ICOM 7600 here with a Ameritron amplifier. Go ahead. What is
the name there?
W3AMC. This is K4KRE.
Okay, the name here is David. Delta Abel, Victor, Ida Delta. I'm just running 100 watts, playing around here a little bit. And that's it. We'll find being west of that area there. I know people more down in the Lake Hanna area, and down in that way, and like down toward Culpeper and places like that. Anyway, we've got friends down there. My friend here has friends down there, and we typically get down that way. So there you go. I can't add a whole lot more. I'm going to bow out of here, and thank you very much for acknowledging my call, and we shall catch you there again. I have checked in here one other time before. W3AMC clear, and we're sitting by and listening.
W3AMC and DAWA, this is K4KRE. Okay, David, good to hear you. I'm copying you a little bit better now. There is a bit of QSB. But very glad to have you in here, and we're here Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30. If you're available, call in anytime. So 7373 to you, David. Any other comments for the AWA net? This is K4KRE. Okay, the noise is kind of getting deafening here. That's it for today with the AWA net. We'll say 7-3 to everyone, and we're signing clear here. This is K4KRE.
Take care, Paul. Have a good day. And David, if you're still listening, welcome to the Bruce Kelly AWA Antique Wireless Association Memorial Net. And have a good signal here in southeastern Pennsylvania. W3GMS, now clear.
Hey, come on back, W3GMI. Whereabouts are you located at? W3AM6.
Yeah, very good, David. W3AMC, this is W3 Whiskey 3 Golf Mike Sierra, W3 Good Music Station. My name is Joe, and we're located 25 miles east of Lancaster, Pennsylvania. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. You're all the way down in that area there. Okay, real fine. I thought I heard you mention something about Kutztown. I think it was you. And I'm within a mile of Kutztown addresses. I'm at the third end of Lehigh County here, out in the western part. Go ahead.
Yeah, very good. Yeah, I know a lot of people up that way. Forget some of their calls, but Dwayne, and I was president of the Reading chapter of the QCWA for a year or so, and I got to know a lot of guys up in that area, in the Kutztown area, plus my daughter graduated from Kutztown University. So we get up there typically every spring and fall for the antique radio meet. Do you ever get there, David, to the meet? Go ahead.
Yes, I have the antique radio meet. I find it interesting, and I went to the one that I forget where it was. I went with a friend one time, and I found it interesting to see all the different radios and the old stuff, some of it, and whatever else. And amazing how some of these guys that are not even amateurs get into it. I call it giggles and grins to get something as a hobby, to say, and reconstruct some of these radios and make them look like something and actually get them to play and work. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, a lot of those guys there, they restore not the amateur sets, so there's some that do. But it's mainly the AM broadcast sets and hi-fi amplifiers and things like that. So, yeah, there's some very talented people that are able to do that. So it's always fun. And it's about an hour and a half or so drive from us. And we just go up to Reading via 176 and then 222 across into Kutztown. So it's a nice drive. A very, very pleasant event. I know a lot of people that attend it, so my good friend Stu, W2AO, and his wife Victoria are typically there. Stu was in the net here this morning, and there's a bunch of others. So it's a fun time. Go ahead.
Yeah, right. There's a fella here locally did that for a long time. His name was Harry, and I cannot think of his call, but built some of the early beginning radios and reconstructed a couple of them. He had a room in their house. Well, actually, he had a hardware store and had it all upstairs. And it was amazing, the room and the shelves that he had up, and had all these different radios in there from way to beginning to you name it. And he was really into it and did some of the amateur stuff as well. And I found it interesting going and seeing how there is a great deal of people involved in it was a big shock, to see that. And at 1 or 10, I can remember my dad and I reconstructed one time, and he got the fucker to really work. And he ended up getting rid of it. I wish he would have kept it. So there you go. And a funny thing, I can remember my grandpa saying, this old RCA radio sitting on the corner. Remember them with the nice cabinet? And he used to say, someday I'm going to look at that box and I'll see these people in it. He never really got to do that. But he often talked about that. He always ventures to the future. W3AMC.
Yeah, well, sometimes there's no future, so you got to do it today if you wanted to do it. What you should plan, David, is to look into attending the Antique Wireless International Conference this year. It's up in Rochester, New York at RIT. And AWA has just a world-class museum in Bloomfield, New York. In fact, the curator is Lynn, W2BSN, and he was in on the first round this morning of the net. But if you want to see a collage of radios that span from DC to light, that's the place to go to see them. And I know you would really enjoy it. And during the conference, they give tours at the museum. And it's a great thing. So, and then you can also go up other times. I forget the days they're open, but they're open a couple of days of the week as well. But you like looking at that stuff. I mean, there's just thousands and thousands of square foot of beautiful, beautiful museum quality pieces, amateur radio, television, early TVs, broadcast sets. They have the Voice of America transmitter up there that they got from California, the big VOA transmitter. I think it's 100,000 watts or 250,000 watts. I forget. That's there. And they have that all assembled and together for viewing, along with the console, the operating console. They have a lot of the tapes, the VOA tapes. for the audio portion, and it's just a it's just something really, really good to see. So anyway, there you go. I'm going to sign. Your signal's starting to drop down here, David. But great chatting with you, and do check in. The SNEC gets on every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. W3AMC, W3GMF.
Okay, will do. Thank you, and we shall do that. I have been in the broadcasting field and took care of two-way radio system, and been involved over 50 years. I will do some talk on it and counseling off and on. Not much. I don't go out that much no more and whatever else, but I found it interesting to see how it was like. And I, believe it or not, was involved back in the some of the earlier days when they actually did mobile phones going back way back in the 60s. A lot of people find it hard to believe that there were mobile phones out and things of this sort, and how technology has brought us a great deal away. So I find it quite interesting. Yeah, it's the time of the day when pictures are beginning to fade out. Anyway, enough said, I'm going to bow out. It was quite enjoyable. We shall catch you again and Monday, Wednesday, and you said, I think you said Friday. I hope I got that correct. Occasionally I'll get back here and see what's going on. And I know Bill, W-A-3-Y-N-W. I talked to him on another net earlier, other days of the week. So we'll catch you about. Take care. Thanks a lot. 73, bye-bye, and I find it quite interesting. W3AMC is out there.
Okay, very good, David. Yeah, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30. This frequency, 3.837. I'd like to talk to you more about your professional two-way radio career. For a period of time, I was chief engineer for an RF company designing repeaters for the VHF-UHF system. But a large portion of my, I'm a retired electrical engineer, we're spent in the computer industry designing enterprise server mainframes, so, or servers as they call them today. But anyway, it's been a lot of fun. And now we're building a museum down here. If you ever get down into the Lancaster area, I'd love to show it to you. It's a work in progress. We have room one done and completed. And we have a lot of great stuff here. So retirement keeps me very busy. I mentor some kids in electrical engineering. Two of them now are in college, one at University of Delaware and one at Penn State, doing exceedingly well. So it's time to give back, and that's what I'm trying to do. 73 David, W3AMC, W3GMF, clear.
Okay, we'll do. Interesting, and Penn State is one of the better ones as well to go to in that field. I do know that. Yeah, it was quite interesting. Yeah, you're talking about doing that and linking from one place to another and all that other good stuff. Catch you later. W3AMC 73 W3GMF,
pulling the big switch.
73 Dave, 73 Joe, W-A-3-Y-N-W.
You hollered, Bill, what's going on?
Oh, I was just sitting here listening to you and Joe talking, and I didn't want to interrupt because it was so interesting listening to the two of you break.
Yeah, okay, Bill, I am hearing you, but a little more on the weaker side. We used to catch you earlier in the morning, and W3MC, so what's going on, and, oh, I don't know what, there was something else I wanted to add. Oh, I'm quite sure you'll make it tomorrow, am I correct? Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, indeed, I'll be there tomorrow morning,
I find this quite interesting here, and as they say, going back in the years of being involved not only in the broadcast field as well and amateur radio, but I enjoy this, believe it or not. For some crazy reason, I do. Go ahead.
Well, I'm the same way. I'll tell you the truth. And for some reason, don't ask me why. But spark that transmission intrigued me to no end. It just fascinates me how they did it, and all
more about it. So it's a shame that you still can't use it, but you know, we all know why. It's so broad and everything else, but it still, it was way in the that time, and it was the grandfather of actually what we're using today. Very good.
Yeah, you're right. You're right with that. You faded out there towards the end a little bit, but you were quite readable. You know, something interesting happened yesterday. I ran into a bunch of guys playing around late yesterday afternoon. Playing around and setting up operating remotely with their Bluetooth systems hooked up to their radios, and one of them was ICOM and Yaesu and UNIX. It was amazing to hear what they were doing and how they were getting them to work and using their laptops, and where one guy's radio was down in the basement, he could operate from upstairs, and I'll tell you what, they sounded pretty doggone good with it, Bill.
Yeah, I hear quite a few of them on doing that. You got D-Star and, of course, DMR. And, of course, with the DMR, you get the hotspot, and that's you can work around the world on a handheld, so to speak. But I'll tell you one thing. I guess that's what I find so fascinating about this hobby, because the technology has changed so much, changes so fast. I mean, hey, it's just what's here today, tomorrow is obsolete, so to speak. It's that fast and rapid, but yeah, they're really making big improvements on all this stuff nowadays, and I guess really the better the space age started it, and then it just went from there and snowballed to where we are right now. So I find it very, very fascinating how some of these fellows are doing it, but myself, I would much rather sit here in front of the stages and get my foot switched and talk and do whatever, but I do notice on some of them around here, of course, I guess they haven't got it perfected yet. Especially on DMR, the audio is a little bit off, and some of the stations that come in are really shrill, it's almost to the point it hurts your ears. But I don't know if that's in the transmitter, or well, I guess it is. You know, they just don't have the gain set right on it, or whatever. But it's going to be the thing to come, that's for sure. It's going to be very, very interesting. Next 10 to 15 years, see just what direction ham radio they want to go in. W3AMC,
W8CY, and W. Yeah, they're right, Bill. Yeah, you're right for that. W3AMC. I have a D-Star system here. I do utilize it at times. Not a lot, but I do. I got a guy that lives up the back from me, and you know, this is crazy. Him and I cannot talk on regular setup, okay? As they say, analog. Go to the digital voice mode, and him and I can make contact like this. Go tomorrow. It's unbelievable. May not be big and simple, but he's sure down well. So, yeah, I think the dramatic changes. And what setup are you running there today? What kind of rig are you using today? I know you change them off and on. But it's 3 a.m. today.
Okay, well, this is my main rig. It's a Kenwood and right now just running 100 watts. My amplifier went south on me the other week, and I've got to put a power supply in. I think that's where the problem is. And I heard a real high voltage snap, and from there everything went downhill, so to speak. So I want to get the power supply and up here on the shelf and get it down and look into it. And if I don't, I'm not able to fix it myself, I'll just send it off and get it done. So, and it's probably time. It's been a while since the amplifiers have any attention to it. Probably I'll send it both off and get them picked up and everything, and check the attitudes, checking all that. As far as my electronic equipment here, I don't have that much test equipment anymore. So I'm kind of at a handicap. And tell you the truth, Dave, I just don't feel like fooling with it anymore. You know, it's there, and it's right within arm's reach, but I guess I'm getting a bad case of being lazy. I don't know. Dave, go ahead.
Yeah, I can imagine. No getting away from that, Bill, so there you go. Anyway, that's about it. I'm amazed at this time of the day when keeping up there pretty well with you. So I guess I get ready and bow out and all this other good stuff. Oddly enough, Bill,
temperature's only 41 degrees here. We were down to 31 last night.
And believe it or not, it's nice and sunny today. Unbelievable.
But get ready, rain. And guess what? They're talking cold weather over the weekend. So we don't want to point you bow out. And yeah, you're right. As they say, as you get a little bit older, you set up with a few little things and as they say, consolidate things and all this other good stuff. Anyway, I've got to bow out, and hey, it was enjoyable to talk to you one-on-one for a change. That'll be the 3 a.m. thing.
Okay, Dave, fine. Well, by golly, I certainly enjoyed it, and I wish Joe had stuck around a little bit longer with a couple things to say to him, but I'll catch him on another go-round anyway. Get it out here all the time, too. So take care, and yeah, you think I'm doing very, very well. I'm not sure what you're running right now. You might tell me if we're going to put on a break, but you're doing a fine job. So that's great for now, and I'll hear you on tomorrow. And take care, and oh, yeah,
we'll catch you there. I'm going with a friend's radio here right now, and I'll run it when I take care of it on Friday. Oddly enough, it's an older one, but it's the Icon 7200 I've been playing with. It's a heavy radio. It's I'll tell you what, military-style radio, I must say that. It seems to do pretty well. I'm really surprised, and I'm amazed how well it plays. And but it's amazing with what you can do with it as well. So there you go. I wouldn't mind having one of the newer type radios with the spectrum analyzer sort of built in it, you know, and things of this sort. But I left well enough alone. He wanted me to straighten it out for him, and so I did. And he didn't have the manual, and you name it. So I got that, and all this other good stuff. I have everything set up very nicely now for him, so let's hope and pray, knock on wood, everything goes well with it. So there you go. So I took care of that. I enjoy doing that once in a while for one of the guys here. It'll be the 3 a.m. thing. We're doing this thing. I'm amazed, you know, how well it works out.
I think it was around 50.
Wait, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah,
exactly. This is your way, Charlie.
There you go. There's the guy.
Get me on QRZ.
What is it for?
November 3, after Hotel India. N3OHI. No three officers have intelligence. Just that count.
Yeah, I got your call. I'm looking you up right now.
Are you in Long Island?
Yes, sir. I'm in Long Island. I'm about 2 miles southeast of JFK Airport on the Queens Nassau border.
Oh, okay, because I used to drive out to Deer Park and Patshaw quite a bit.
Okay, Dave, I got your call here. Very good.
Yeah, look at the pictures there. One of the pictures might show you one of the hats. That's what I do for a living.
Yeah, morning, Dave, it's Rob. Yeah, I see him a lot of times advertised on Facebook also. Nice work. You do stickers, too, and bumper stickers like that, window stickers, correct, Dave?
Oh, yeah. I do the stickers. I do the license plates for your shack, yep.
All right, I might need some new stuff there. The rub on. I need some other ones. When I'm ready to do that, I'll send you pictures of what I got there. I need some stuff with a Motorola so I can put it on laptops and stuff.
Oh, I think I got something like that, yeah. I think I got their logo. Matter of fact, I know I got their logo.
All right, we're going from, I think I got it, to we got it.
Yeah, I'm just thinking. Takes a while for me to think, but sooner or later I get there.
Sounds like me, Dave.
Just takes a little longer these days, that's all.
Between it taking longer and not being able to remember anything, it's perfect.
Two for a dime. What's that?
Instant on him.
Somebody double with me now, Rob. Somebody else is out there.
Who has the instant on amp, Rob?
What was that?
Who has the instant on amp?
Well, the Kenwood, you fire up and it's got the 3500Zs. That doesn't take any warm-up time. The SP220 does, and I forget what else. I don't think my Henry with the ceramic tube ball needs a warm-up.
How many times do you turn your amplifier on where you need to transmit in the next 2 seconds?
No, I don't have premature exaggeration on amp.
So, I don't get it.
That's why I couldn't figure out there. You know, how many people turn around and you have to, you know, jump on that quick there?
Especially, you know, if you talk on a frequency, whether it's this one or somewhere else, that, you know, there's a big gang in there, so what the heck? NM3Y.
N1F. Well, my station's like a helicopter to fire it all up, everything, and get in line. The radio, the audio station, the software, you know, probably one of the first things I would turn on if I had an amp that had a warm up would be the amplifier. Let that warm up first there and go through all the procedures. But no, I don't know. I don't know anybody needs to jump silly.
Hey, Bob.
Yeah.
Well, you know what's nice about this amplifier, too? It has the in-rush protection, but believe it or not, there are some people out there that think that, you know, once you turn it on, even if the reply is warming up, it'll warm up as you're talking to it. But what can I say, you know? It is what it is. If I know I'm coming in the shack and I'm going to be spending some time on the radio, the first thing I do is put the amplifier on, let it go through the process of warming up. And then once I get the okey-dokey from the thing, when I get a solid green light, then I know it's good to go. But other than that, you know, it's not like I haven't been to. What possibly could be so critical that you need to talk right away when you put the box on?
I don't know. I can never figure that out. Well, I'm on the homebrew amp right now, and my just has 2 3500Zs in it, but I always let it sit there and warm up for 5 or 10 minutes before I talk. It's like you just said, when you know you're going to be getting on, you just you know, you turn it on and let it sit there for a while, and then get on the radio.
One other thing too is I think a misconception is too that. You know, if you can establish contact with the other person you're talking to with whatever you require in power, 5, 10, 15, 20, up to 100 watts, you still don't have a problem. The contact shouldn't be, or the quality of the contact should not be by the ability that you can run full legal limits yourself.
And I think Alf just said that when he turns his amp on, he needs to talk within the first 2 seconds.
Exactly. All right. FedEx is here bringing my food here for my dog. Let me go out and grab the box. I'll be back. Anyone you want.
Boy, the guy can't even go to the store to buy dog food. That's how FedEx bring it.
I don't know. I must be doing the wrong thing. I got to find out what he's doing. I want to copy it. If I could sit here, relax, and do nothing, maybe he's got a machine in his basement.
I don't know.
He's got everything else in the basement. Maybe he has a machine. You're going quite well.
Oh, good, good. Okay, yeah, you're still a solid S9. I mean, are you still running the 400 watts?
Right now I'm peaking a little bit over the 4, before I was peaking close to 6.
Didn't you tell me your antenna's fed in the center, but the total length of it is only 79 feet, so what's that? It's about, each leg is about 40 feet long?
No, believe it or not, the bulk center set commercial is made by the Metcon antenna company.
I think they're down in Georgia.
I had all the homebrews up there, but I had problems with the homebrews as far as getting on this band. So I, because of my slot is not, or my slot is not that long that I could do things, I think it's the bulk center set Metcon. It's 33 feet in one direction, 45 feet in the other direction, and then there's a vertical radius of 28 feet, all continuous as far as the wire is concerned. And with the ballon up on top, and I'm feeding with RG214 cable. You'll see it on their website. It's an interesting antenna. The only thing I'm going to do in the spring is I'm going to get it up higher, and I'm going to turn it 180 degrees. Right now the vertical radiator is close to my house, so I'm going to flip it. I'm going to try to get up high using some of the military poles that I have here. And I'm going to put it into a...
I think it does fit through 150. But I think the power on the 6 meters is around 52. Just looking through the manual here.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to find somebody that would be interested in that.
Yeah, okay. So the power from our system is 250 watts in load.
What happened to Dave? Is he still out there? Still out there, Dave?
Dave's not here, man.
Okay, I guess he's not. How about Alf? Is Alf out there?
Yeah, and what do you like?
No, I did it from Chewy. I get free delivery. They're great people. The store that I'm buying my food, I buy Eukanuba, top grade food for my dog. And a lot of times I would go to these places and they'd be out of it. They would sell so quick.
It's funny. Eukanuba. Wow. That's what we used to feed our last two dogs that we had. Man, we always liked that brand.
So Chewy, free delivery.
Free delivery, you buy a certain amount there, and you build up, like, I guess, coupons or whatever, and every single year, my oldest one, Lily, they sent her a birthday card. They just sent Emma's birthday, it's the 22nd there of February, they sent her a birthday card. We got a box of Eukanuba from them one day, and the bag was broken open in the box, and we called them up. It probably just the way it shipped it and everything, it wasn't, like somebody cut it or anything. And we called them up, and they says, she goes, we'll send you another bag. She goes, you want to ship it back? She goes, no, keep it. We got the bag the next day. No charge, no nothing. So the other bag was still good, and we ended up with an extra bag. And they've been very supportive. And good price, too.
Okay. So I'm thinking here, I always see the commercials on TV, and I'm thinking, well, how can they compete with these, like Walmart? I mean, I don't even know if Walmart sells Eukanuba, but the big dog food selling box stores that they have out there, whatever they're called, wherever I used to go, I don't even remember the name of the place. But anyway, how can they compete? They got the shipping to deal with and everything. But I guess if you order a certain amount, like most other websites, you order up to a certain amount, the shipping's free once you get past that point. But that's pretty good. I'm actually glad to hear that, because if I had a dog, I would probably do the exact same thing. That's a pain in the neck. I remember going to get them 40-pound bags or whatever they were. I'm pretty sure they were 40-pound bags of Eukanuba. To go in the store, get it, drag it out, throw it in the trunk or back seat of the car or something, bring it into the house. That's pretty good. I'm actually glad to hear they have free shipping. That'll make it work.
Yeah, and I've never had any problems. Their food's always been fresh, and I've been feeding my dogs Eukanuba for well over 40-some-odd years. All my Dobermans and stuff like that, the dogs that I had there, they've always got Eukanuba. And everybody said to me, how come their coats are so shiny and all there? Are you giving any other supplements? No, basically, they've been eating Eukanuba, and both of my labs always had nice, shiny, good coats. If you want it. Good morning, Mike.
How's it going, Mike, at M3Y? Hey, sounding good, real good. No problem at all. Oh, Alf, I wanted to mention. Yeah, the last dog we had died in 2009 was a female Rottie, an 80-pound female Rottie. She was the most intelligent dog we ever had. Before we got her, we had another female Rottie that was 105 pounds. That only lived 5.5 years. She had cancer real bad. We had to put her down. So our last two dogs were female Rottweilers, and we haven't had a dog since 2009, but we fed both dogs Eukanuba.
Yeah, very good. So I forgot what I was going to say.
Yeah, and then we have insurance for our dogs, and actually through Nationwide, believe it or not. And, I mentioned to a lot of people, especially two dogs, they don't pick up on a lot of the little stuff, like, you know, Lily's got to go for blood work and some tests there, just her routine thing there. They don't pick up on a lot of that, but we had to take her to an emergency vet there one day. You know, the way she was acting, and she had thrown up there, so as a precautionary, we took her Katona vets up here in Westchester, which are very, very good, high-end. They're open 24 hours a day. Best people, the equipment and everything. And we got up there, and we turned around and, you know, checking her out and doing the blood things and all that stuff. So the girl says, you know, well, you know, if you want, you know, I can do this or do that, or you can wait to get to your doctor tomorrow. I think one of them was an x-ray. She goes, no. Do the x-rays, do everything you have to do here now. I don't want to have to try to get an appointment for my vet, or have to have my dog sitting here at home overnight and something else that, you know, wasn't picked up by you now, and I got to wait for my vet to pick it up there. I want it done now. So this way we have all the stuff, all the stats. We can turn around and clear up what's going on and then follow up with her doctor later. And same thing with the hospital. All that information is sent right to our vet. He brings it all up there. He's got all the information. There's no paperwork or talking on the phone there. So I believe in insurance, and the insurance covered everything. I don't know exactly, Mike, the other half. She takes care of that part there. I forget what it is, but I tell you, it's not the little stuff that you catch. But when something big happens, it's worth it. You know, you could walk in there. That could have probably cost us $3,000 or so, whatever, all that work and stuff like that, and insurance picked up on it. Well, like I said, said to Bobby earlier, and when he left, I can remember we came in the next morning. My son asked how Lily was. I said, fine. He goes, that's amazing. It's what time were you out to? What, 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock in the morning? And by the time you got back, he said, I said, you would have told me, well, let's just wait till the morning and see how you feel.
I'll be right back in M3Y.
No, I haven't, and you're dropping out a little bit. I don't know if it's the conditions. Can you send it to me? No, you're not dropping out. It's just the conditions. Yeah, I think it's just a band that, you know, because Artie's there, and then you just drop it, the things are going up and down. Larry, I've spoken to Larry directly a number of times. I've spoken to his wife there, very helpful, you know, said, you know, he's out or whatever, he'll get back to you. It's American made, and that's another plus. I'm saying the foreign stuff there. It's like the
RF kit there that I'm looking at, the amplifier. Yeah, that's German made, but it's getting good reviews. There's quite a few people I'm running into that have them. One of them is Devon, who's on here. He bought it, and a few other guys there, so it looks like the amp that I think I'm going to be going for. It's pricey. It's $4,500, but this thing is the catch me out. W1QJ Lou from King's Conversion, I showed him the video, and he was looking. He goes, wow, look at the hardware that's in there. Look at the size of the equipment. He says, that thing's built like a tank, and it only runs, it only uses four FETs on there to get the legal limit. And the guy, the video's on the Dayton Ham Fest there of 2019. I posted it on the Alf's house, and Reinhardt, who's the developer of it, the guy was asking, he goes, how loud is it? How loud are the fans? He goes, my RF signal's louder than my fans are. I'm waiting for the FCC's approval for the build kit. That's what I'm waiting for. I don't know. Somebody said there is one that you can get directly from Germany. You know, I don't know if they can sell it in here or what. But I look at it this way, Mike. It's one unit. I don't have to get a separate amplifier, a separate automatic antenna tuner. It's all one unit. I talked to somebody. If I didn't have room on the desk for it, I could put it behind the desk because it all comes up on the software up on the screen. It's all controlled from there. It works good with the Flex. I already know somebody is running a Flex and that amplifier, and they said, and this is, they've had it for 3 years, and they said it's good there. Now, hardware update, I'm like looking at, okay, it's like software update. Do I really need it? Am I going to need it? Is it going to improve anything more than I need it? Sometimes people say, no, they just leave the software it is. Is the hardware thing, is it a critical hardware, or is it improvement that's something you'll need? Or I really don't need it. So you got to look at those two things with their offering. Do a lot of AM, especially if I'm going to be remote in there. I have a Palstar. I have an AT4K, and I love it. It's a tank there. It's tune up a toothpick there. Maybe a paperclip. But I'm looking at it. I was pricing both the Palstar amplifier and tuner. I was $500 over with the kit RF kit cost.
Thank you.
I'm not running. You know, I need a tuner here for my light system. That's definite there. And then also remoting switches, because as soon as the weather gets better, like about springtime, for the 160 configuration, we're going to be running relay switches out there in the antenna box there. So I don't have to go out there and flip switches anymore. I'm going to run relays. All I can do is push a button and it'll switch it back to, it'll switch it to the from the 80 to the 160, and then I can switch from the 160 to the T antenna. So I'll just sit here and just push a button.
NM3Y, I'm back. I saw your QRZ page, Alf. I was wondering why you didn't do that in the first place. Okay, that's cool.
What? My Facebook page? I'm not too good at setting this up. I have no biography, no nothing, and the pictures are all jiggled-jaggled around.
No, QRZ, I saw some pictures, and I saw inside of the box where the transformer was. I saw, like, a big, nice switch in there, and I was wondering why you didn't go the relay route, but that's cool.
Because we were getting close to cold weather.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yeah, I think you just said you're going to switch over to relays, right?
Yeah, they would have been done, but that was all that was finished off about, and still playing around in November there, and the temperature started dropping there. So, running the PVC piping and everything, and the what you call it there, the wires under part of underground there, and then running down through the PVC piping down to the box there. The weather didn't just play right. Actually, it's nice now, but we're gonna wait for springtime there because we're still doing some things on the map with that there.
Yeah, sounds good. Sounds like a plan.
Anyway, I'm not jumping on this amplifier right away. I don't buy anything right away. I call you 3 or 4 times to ask you questions, and so I make a decision. I know I make the right one when, you know, I look at something. I don't go right away, and then 2 weeks later go, oh, this was out here. I should have got this instead, or I should have added this to that. So I could take weeks, the months there to sit around and purchase it, because anytime I've ever bought anything, I've been happy with what I bought, and no regrets after.
Nice pickle.
Definitely, but most of the time, that's when I remote, that's definitely going to be a thing there. But as of now, Mike, especially in the summertime, anytime I shut this, I got lightning maps going on. I got lightning map detectors here, so there's anything going on. And then I listen and watch the cameras. If I see a flash and it didn't show up on the lightning detectors or the map, because I've seen that happen, I go to bed, full disconnect. Everything is pulled away from the antennas. The shack is isolated, or even if I go down to Stop and Shop down here, which is just an eighth of a mile down the street from me, I'll disconnect my antennas because I never know what happens while you're out and when you're left.
Mike, you copy?
Yeah,
Rick here, KC3DR. How's the audio sound, Noah, out of this laptop? Okay, this is the one I had screwed up and found out what it was. You don't want the enhancements set in Windows 10 on your microphone input if you're going to use it on your laptop or remote.
Sounds good here, Rick.
Seems to work.
Sounds good here, Rick.
Okay, this is the laptop that I tried yesterday, and Al said it sounded like it was all frequency, and it did. I listened to myself coming back, but this is a different one. This is the little Lenovo. Same one he's got. Good. That solves that problem.
Okay, Mike, NM3Y. Sounds good, Rick.
Well, thanks. Well, problem solved with that one. On to the next.
Yeah, I remember some of the noise you had and other things. I'm thinking, oh my God, I don't know how you had the patience to sit there and figure that out. My head would be exploding.
Well, it's kind of like trying to get... Hold on. Kind of like trying to get the rat that I got outside here. He's a smart little sucker. He won't go in any traps. But the wife was monkeying around yesterday. She found a hole out here in the yard. She stuck a garden hose in and turned the water on. In about 30 seconds, she said he came out of there like his ass was on fire. So I put the trail cam up. He's back in there. I'm going to, when she gets back, I'll just wait there with a 12 gauge. When he sticks his head out, that'll be the end of it.
Oh, I'll bring my 17 HMR over, and oh my, that thing shoots tacks. That's so awesome, that little caliper. I could just see that thing running out of the hole. That must have been funny.
She come in laughing. She said it launched just like I said, like his butt was on fire. And he ducked around and went into the porch here. And he didn't come out. And I put the trail cam out last night, 6 o'clock this morning. He finally came around the porch and came along the edge there and went back down that hole. So there you go. He waited almost 18 hours.
I wonder where the heck he came from. One rat.
Well, that's one we have, and there was another one on the other side of the house. Probably came across, who knows, we're out in the country, so, you know, and as soon as we find something like that, we get on it right away. But that other one, that's a nightmare trying to get him. You know, I even went along with the holes and took a digging iron and collapsed the tunnel and thought we might get it closed off. And don't you know, it'll go 3-4 days, and that sucker will dig them holes out again.
Oh, man, I'd make that my full-time job then. It sounds like he's pretty smart. Well, I guess, I don't know if you tried the cage, you know, there's cage traps they got for raccoons and skunks and groundhogs. I bought one of those once, I guess it was a couple winters ago. And I read on the internet, it was for a raccoon, and I read on the internet that that raccoons like cat food. So I put a thing of cat food in there, and I had it out there about 7 days in the dead of winter with snow everywhere, right under the tree where this thing was living, and no action at all. So I just went to the next best method. I took care of it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Well, I have one of these electronic traps, too, I got you. It's made by Victor down there in Lidditz. It has batteries in and a high voltage on it, and there's two separate plates inside. You just throw the food inside of it, and then they're in there eating, and the back of them is on the one plate, and when they touch that front plate, that's it. That's all she wrote. And you can just separate the two sections, dump it out, and put it back online, turn the switch on. Now, you can't leave it out if it's going to get water on it. Other than that, it works great. And I had a mouse here. We went away and came back a couple days later, and it didn't take long for the mouse to find it. Dumped him out, but he won't touch that. I've left it out there for days, you know, so he could acclimate to it, and I've had the trail cam up and watch him. He'll go right past it, won't even look at it, and he'll eat seeds and stuff on the ground, but he won't touch what's in there or in front of it, so... they're a little difficult at times. At least these are out here in the country. They must be pretty smart rats.
Yeah, they're country rats. It's time to get the big gun out.
They, you know, just inhale anything. Not these. they're pretty persnickety, as you say. But, well, I'm glad we got this up and running, and I'll switch off during the call here. Casey, 3-1.
And in 3-1.
And so on.
All right, sounds like the whole gang's here. Where's the chairman of the board at today?
Oh, we got off. He's on one of the difficulties. The mystery and mistreated where it's been.
This dog did what, Alf? What do you got? What are you eating, Alf?
No. I'm going down on a muffin.
What's the dog show there in the city there in New York there? It's the standard poodle one there. Al's whooping and ho-ho!
At Westminster show at, at the stadium down there.
Now you're talking, Rick.
Well, I was hoping it'd be the Golden Retriever. I like Danny.
I thought it was longer than that, Mike.
Did you see the bow that she made at the end when she won? Yeah, when she's being judged and they're there, the owner taps her and she does a bow.
Oh, very smart. That one that Al has, Coco's got him trained perfectly.
Wait, Coco has Al trained?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Sometimes he backslides, but then she corrects him.
Yeah, where's the master of ceremony of Facebook? I got the free ball last night. I didn't get interrupted for some reason. So, Mike, you're going to go for the LP-100, huh?
What is the LP-100? Is that an auto-tuner?
No, it's an RF watt meter, and it does all kinds of other things there. Very good watt meter. It's pricey, but it's very good. It's precise. The guy, Lou W12J, who does all the amplifier works for us in the area and around, he does the King conversions of 6 meters of SP220. And I was at his house dropping off one of my amplifiers, one that actually I got from Al. And I look, I see all these bird watt meters up there in the shelter. Wow, you got a lot of bird watt meters, because I never use them anymore. He goes, what? He points to the LP-100, because that's all I use to test my amplifiers out.
Is that the Alpha Delta watt meter?
No, LP-100, which is N4LP, Larry. I forget where he's out there. He made the pan adapters for the Yaesu, the drop-in stuff like that, the LP pan units there for pan adapters for units, and he has the watt meter. It's the LP-100A. It's the digital vector RF watt meter.
That's right.
So you can buy, you can have it set up to have two separate sensors there. So if you're using two separate radios, you can have the device hooked up to two separate radios in one meter.
Okay, this is a digital watt meter. I think I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah, I was going to send you the link. So I was going to send you a picture of what it looks like. Yeah, it's telepost.
It's very accurate. It does not.
How much is it?
Yeah, I believe so.
So I'm on telpostinc.com's website. That's where it's at. I see it. Check it out. I've had my eye on that Alpha Delta meter for years. I don't know what it costs now, but the last time I checked it was like $750 or $795 or something like that, but I always thought that was just